This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
If you want to reach out to Kelly and company, some great ways to do it, folks. You can give us a call. Always love to hear you. 1-866-509-4545. And for us to be able to hear you, give us permission, please, to use your message on air. If we can, we shall. 1-866-509-4545. Otherwise, keep it in mind, we will not use your message. So if you just have a question or just something you want to share with us, great way to do it. Also mention it's for Kelly and company. If you want to follow along, see what's happening segment to segment on Twitter at AMI Audio. That's at AMI Audio. It's the handle over there on Twitter. Feedback at AMI.ca. If you maybe have a question about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or AMI Audio, send it to the gang over there in communications and marketing. They'll check it out for you and get back to you. Feedback at AMI.ca. Kelly McDonald here, hosting Kelly and Company with Ramya Muthan.
So this is our regular spot on Mondays where we like to get our tech updates with Michael Babcock, but he is not here because he's very busy. He's supposed to check in with us potentially, but having some internet connectivity issues. So he's not here live, but filling in for Michael is Demasi Thomas, who's a regular fill-in slash guest on Michael's segments here. He's a technology consultant, and he's giving us information on traveling securely because Demasi, when we're traveling, we all should be considering our personal security, both the important physical stuff, but also the digital security. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be fun chatting about this with you. And how's it going on Monday, July 4th?
Thank you for allowing me to step in and fill in for Mike. And yeah, he is having serious connectivity issues kind of inside the hotel. I actually haven't had a chance to really talk to him since he's been here. How are you guys today?
Oh, doing well. So that means you're here. You haven't even checked in, you know, about what you're supposed to be doing on Kelly and Company, and no permissions or any of that. Nice.
Oh, I just got this email, and it was like Matt was like, "You got to show up at 1:00." I was like, "Okay, I guess I'll show up."
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, happy 4th.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So, how concerned should we be concerned about our device security, really, when we're traveling?
So, generally speaking, I always tell people to consider what it's, you know, what I refer to or what's referred to in the industry as your threat model. And what that really comes down to is the vulnerability that you have or the likelihood that someone is going to come after you. Like, are you a high target, you know, person? You know, do you hold a lot of secrets that people would want to get? And then what's your risk factor? Like, just how much are you kind of exposing yourself in general based off how you are, you know, moving around in the world when you're traveling?
Yeah. It's funny because there's so much that we think about now and we don't. And a lot of it comes down to, Demasi, to that convenience thing. Boy, I like that I can do this. I like that I can just simply click on that, tap on that, whatever it might be. And so much information is put out there when it comes to the things I want out there. However, for the convenience, sometimes we make a trade-off when it comes to security, that convenience versus that comfort. Should privacy also play a role in that decision-making process?
I think that it should, because as you said, you know, security really comes down to a trade-off for convenience versus security, right? Somebody once said, like, you know, you can make your house super secure, but then you wouldn't have any doors, so you can't get in and out of it.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
You add a door that also adds a vector for someone else to come into your house, not just you.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to privacy, especially as a person with a visual impairment, I am very fond of using like the screen curtain on my device because I am not necessarily aware, and we as people moving around are not always aware, whether you're sighted or not, who's looking at you, who's trying to watch you. So, you know, making sure that you are trying to protect your information, not just securely, but just being private about it. When you're entering a passcode or you're logging into an app or logging into, you know, your online banking, you know, making sure that you're in a reasonably safe and secure environment while doing that.
Yeah. I know when I used to travel all the time back and forth on the Greyhound, I had always the curtain on. It just was one of those things that I was just, I didn't know if I was putting a password in or, you know, for my voicemail or just whatever. I wanted to make sure I had the habit that my screen was blacked out and people would. Now, of course, I had once in a while somebody tap my shoulder, sir, your phone is off.
Your phone's not working. Yep.
Certainly experienced it, but also understand that and being careful because as a person who's always been vision impaired to a degree of where I don't really know what people who can see. I have some perception, but I really don't know if someone five seats back can look between the seats and, oh, look, he's playing on Sportsnet's website. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, I get an idea when, go ahead, Demasi.
I was just going to say, oftentimes what we also don't consider is that, you know, for the lot of the vulnerabilities and things that we hear about in the news are targeted at companies and things that are valuable. But oftentimes people will take advantage of just what seems to be low hanging fruit. Right. So if we hang our information out there and make it easy, it makes it easier for someone who may not be nearly as sophisticated as, say, a state actor. But, you know, they're able to make an easy pickup on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. And that. There are a lot of examples of that as well. I think we'll get into it. So what are some things that we should be considering when traveling, even in our daily lives?
I would say the number one thing that I tell everyone to do is make sure that you have a passcode on your device. It doesn't need to be 47 characters long or anything crazy like that. Just make sure that you have a passcode on your device because it stops the casual person from picking it up and reading information. Whether you feel that you have anything to hide or not. Me personally, I have so much of my life in my phone that someone could easily get into a bank account or get into someone else's bank account or get into someone else's online accounts. So having a password, I think, is critical. If you're comfortable with the biometrics such as Touch ID or Face ID, absolutely make use of that. It makes it more convenient for you as you're using your device. Just being aware of your environment when you are using your device. So don't just lay it down on a table if you're in a restaurant and then walk away. If you take it out, you know, when you're done using it, put it back in your pocket, put it back in your purse, put it back in your bag, just so that you don't have that accidental, you know, 2 hours later, you realize your phone's not with you.
A lot of people get afraid of, well, I don't want to forget my password. Like you're saying, if you can use your thumbprint or your face, wonderful. But they get worried, especially if for work, for example, if you have to change it every couple of months. Things like that happen that make people in a panic. So I've heard people say things about, well, come up with a good password, you know, that's strong, but that you can change easy so you have a great convention, naming convention. Any tips on creating a good, secure password for our devices?
Absolutely. So the first thing I tell people is, and NIST has that's the National Institutes of Science and Technology, I think, here in the U.S., did a study that said, you know, some of those corporate policies that make you change your password every 90 days is not necessarily the best pattern to take. What I advise people is, one, make a password, like you said, Kelly, that is something that you're going to remember. It kind of gives you a convention of a way to remember a password. I often make like very short sentences. They don't have to be terribly long. And I will substitute, for me, I substitute what the print equivalent of some Braille characters would be. So, for example, if I were to translate the of sign from gray to Braille into what that print would look like if I was going to computer Braille, that would be a left parenthesis. So I can say, you know, I am afraid of cats, right? And I could just use a left parenthesis for of, or just make a short sentence that has spaces and punctuation that makes it less likely someone can bang away at your password and try to guess it, even if they know you or know something about you. One final thing that I would add about that too is if you're comfortable remembering numbers, you can make a, you know, 6-7-8-digit passcode for your device. And I don't know if you remember, you know, like the T9 input on some of the phones that had, you know, text-to-speech back in the days where you would have to type out your letters by pressing, you know, the numbers on the keypad several times. I remember those, right? So I will make a numeric key passcode that uses those letters. So again, I could spell out my name on the keypad and like that. That's a little bit more secure than someone just seeing me type in 1234.
Right. Yeah, that's really, these are good tips, because I think that if you don't think of kind of these, I want to call them loopholes for myself, but you know what I mean? Ways to remember, because the other thing you don't want to do is just leave your super lengthy, very complex passwords that you've created, but you've written them down everywhere because you can't remember what they are.
Yeah, that doesn't help you at all. And don't make it anything overly complicated. Oftentimes when people have to change their passwords, and they're advised, if they've heard people say, oh, you need to make sure you have a secure, unique password, don't make it something that you can't remember. That's why they oftentimes, when you're changing a password on a website, they make you type it in twice, right? Just to make sure that you didn't type in, you know, something wrong. You don't really have that luxury with your phone. So just, you know, depending on where you're entering it. So, you know, use something that you can remember. It should be, like you said, sort of a loophole for yourself. You know yourself better than anybody else, so you know what you can and can't remember. Just make it something you can remember, just not basic. You know, don't use 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Because people are going to try that, you know. And don't use your kid's birthday or your parents' birthday or your birthday, because, you know, that information is available to people to, you know, search out.
And they don't have to know you well to figure that one out. If somebody's out there, they just left a cross-reference. And so many people are very proud of their birthday. And when it is, and it's somewhere, Facebook or whatever, it's there.
Exactly.
So it's convention season for a lot of us. And people are starting to travel more in general anyway. Any extra security measures that you want to point out that we should be considering?
So again, this kind of goes back to me originally saying, think about your threat model, how at risk you are and what type of activities you're doing. But when you're traveling, we often take advantage of the Wi-Fi that is at a hotel, restaurant, something like that. If you're doing anything where you feel like, or you think, or you know that you need to have a higher level of security, because when you're on someone else's network, like, you don't have any control over what they do there or, right, or how they, you know, manage that. So, you know, think about grabbing a VPN service if you're going to be doing a lot of connecting back to, you know, say your bank or your home office or anything like that. Consider a VPN for sure. That will encrypt your traffic from your device directly to where you're going. So even if I am sitting on the network trying to fiddle, even if I'm the network admin, right, and I'm trying to filter traffic for whatever, you're going to bypass anything that I attempt to do, which means I can't inspect your packets. I can't try to decrypt them. I can't put things in the way. And it's not necessarily malicious. Oftentimes in work situations, the corporate firewall is meant to filter traffic to protect their entire network, which means they inspect everything that goes in and out. Well, if I happen to step into the hospital for a little while, I don't want them inspecting my traffic, because what I'm doing really isn't any of their business. You gave me free Wi-Fi, I'm going to use it. So a VPN comes in very handy. Consumer Reports had a very nice article where they kind of evaluated a lot of the VPN services out here and came up with sort of a short list that I think everybody should take a look at if you're looking for a VPN service. I don't like recommending any service specifically, because your needs or requirements may be different from mine. But I think a VPN is a very good strategy to deploy when you're traveling and you know you're going to be on uncontrolled, unknown networks.
Yeah, and this is one where you can either choose, because I've been in scenarios where I feel very insecure and I'm like, okay, maybe I just shouldn't use these open Wi-Fis, right? Or shouldn't use this service being offered by the hotel, because you get pretty paranoid after being on Kelly and Company and listening to all the kinds of stuff that goes on there. But VPN services are something that is like a nice way to kind of balance that out, still be able to, but still have that security in mind. This has been great, Damasi. Thank you so much for joining us and filling in for Michael, but also giving us these really great details to consider when it comes to security and privacy while you're traveling.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to step in and fill in for Michael.
I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Damasi Thomas joining us for the fill-in tech talk on Mondays, which we usually have with Michael Babcock.
Okay, we're out of here for a couple of minutes, folks. When we return, Brock Richardson of The Neutral Zone. He's host and producer of their show on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern here on the network. But he arrives with us in just a couple of moments to talk to us with our sports headlines in hand. Stay tuned.
Hi, Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.